So very important section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita here, which gives us an understanding of who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is and who Srimati Radharani is. Very deep subjects, not easy to understand, but nevertheless it's essential that we try to understand at least the basic points about this. Because upon these will rest our entire faith in our process. We must know who is Krishna and who is Radharani. Srila Prabhupada begins his Krishna book by saying, in the Western countries, when people see the picture of Radha and Krishna, they ask, who is Krishna? Who is this girl with Krishna? So naturally, that is the first question that comes to mind. Who is Krishna and who is Radha? So Radha and Krishna are two mysteries, as Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport. The two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to materialists. Not easy to understand. I have narrated this episode sometimes. At one time I was confronted by some lady who said, who saw the picture of Krishna on the book and said, why does God have to be a man? So a little taken aback by that, wasn't expecting such a question. Why does God have to be a man? So sensing the mood, I immediately replied, well, madam, you know, it's not my fault. What can I do? And in any case, why do you see in the bodily conception of life? Because now you're in a female body, you think, why does someone have to be a man? Why does God have to be a man? Then if you get a man's body, you'll say, well, it's good that God is a man. But in any case, God is not like a man of this world. He is not like a male of flesh and blood. He is a transcendental personality, purely spiritual, the origin of everything. And because he is the complete origin and the supreme enjoyer and the supreme controller, he is called Purusha, the enjoyer. Otherwise, the conception of God being a male is not like the dualistic conception that we find here in this world. And in any case, because the Supreme Lord, being the Absolute Truth, is the origin of everything, then all dualities and all contradictions must reconcile in Him. He must be everything that is there in this world, in our experience and beyond our experience. So, for God to be God, He must have within Himself everything. So logically, if we say that God is a male, then what about the female aspect? Because we see the female tattva, the reality in this world. So if God is only male, then what about the female aspect that we find in existence? So factually, God does contain within Himself the feminine aspect as well. So that feminine aspect of Krishna, of God, of the Supreme Absolute Truth, is Srimati Radharani. So Krishna is incomplete without Radharani, inasmuch as the sun is incomplete without the sunshine, without heat, without light. As Prabhupada explains here, that there is no meaning to the sun without sunshine. Similarly, there is no meaning to Krishna without Radharani. So Krishna and Radharani are one. They are one absolute truth. And in the verse previous to this, the very famous verse from the diary of Swarup Damodar Goswami, which Kaviraj Goswami quotes as one of his Mangalacharan verses in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says here, एकात्मानाव अपि भुवि पुरा देह भेदम गतौ तौ, एक आत्मनौ. He says Radha and Krishna are one in identity. So we are talking on the basis of Pramana of the scripture, the evidence of the scripture, that Radha and Krishna are one in identity. At the same time, Api, even though they are one in identity, Bhuvi Pura, from time immemorial they have come here, Deha Bhedam Gatau Tau, they have separated themselves. Bheda means difference. So that one identity of Radha and Krishna has manifested as Radha and Krishna in different identities, but they are actually one. And now, Chaitanyakhyam Prakatamaduna Tadvayam Cha Aikyam Aptam. And those two identities, Radha and Krishna, have come together again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the mystery of Krishna and Radha Rani and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very simple. Of course, it's difficult to realize, but at least the principle is very easy to understand. So Radha and Krishna are one, but they have become two for the sake of enjoying loving pastimes. Radha Krishna pranaya vikritir ladini shakti rasmad. So the loving relationships between Radha and Krishna are the functions of the internal ladini potency of Krishna. They have nothing to do with the relationships of this world, which come under the jurisdiction of Mahamaya or the illusory potency of the Lord. The relationships between man and woman in this world is on the platform of illusion. The relationship between Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world is on the platform of the topmost reality. So this is how we can understand the oneness of Radha and Krishna. So if someone says next time, why does God have to be a man? Then you have an easy answer. He's also a lady, simultaneously, because he includes everything within himself. Krishna is a supreme energetic, and Srimati Radharani is a supreme energy. And as Prabhupada explains in the purport, Vedanta says that there is no difference between the energetic and the energy, just as there is no difference between the sun and the sunshine. So therefore, Radha and Krishna are one, inconceivably and simultaneously. So this principle is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, as taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada also mentions here in the purport about the three energies of Krishna, the three internal energies. Further ahead, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are going to hear a very detailed explanation of this, very deep. But I'll summarize it briefly. Krishna has unlimited energies because he's a supreme energetic. But all these energies can be classified into three broad categories: the internal energy, which is a spiritual energy. Then there is the external energy, which is Mahamaya. And then there is the marginal energy, which is all of us jivas, the spirit souls. So the internal energy of the Lord has jurisdiction over the entire spiritual world. The external energy has jurisdiction over this material world. And we, the spirit souls, are in the jurisdiction of the marginal energy. So the internal spiritual potency of Krishna also is further subdivided into three, as Prabhupada explains here. One is called the Sandhini potency, which corresponds to Sat. We know that Krishna is Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And corresponding to these three aspects of Krishna are the three aspects of his internal potency. So corresponding to Sat, or the eternality aspect of Krishna, there is a Sandhini potency. Sandhini potency is that potency which is responsible for the existence, which maintains the existence of the Lord. The chit factor of Krishna corresponds to Samvit. The Samvit energy is that energy by which Krishna knows everything, and also by which the living entities can know Krishna. So when we are practicing devotional service, we are getting to know Krishna bit by bit, a little bit. So that's the function of the Samvit energy of the Lord that comes through devotional service. And therefore gradually our understanding and realization of Krishna deepens with every passing day of performing devotional service. So that is the Samvit energy. And then there is the Hladini energy, which corresponds to the Ananda or the bliss aspect of the Lord. So the Hladini Shakti is that Shakti by which Krishna experiences transcendental bliss, and by which all other living entities can also experience transcendental bliss in relation to Krishna. Now this Hladini Shakti, in its essence, is Krishna Prem, is love of God. This Krishna Prem, in its essence, is called Bhava, or transcendental emotion. The ultimate limit, or the complete development of this Mahabhava, in personified form, is Srimati Radharani. Is it getting too difficult? Okay, I'll repeat that. Krishna's internal potency has three divisions. And the bliss potency is called Hladini Shakti. That potency that gives bliss to Krishna and that gives bliss to his devotees. Now, the essence of that bliss potency is called Bhava, which is transcendental emotion. The essence of this Bhava, or rather the essence of the Hladini Shakti, is love of God. The essence of love of God is Bhava, and the ultimate development of that Bhava is called Mahabhava. Srimati Radharani is the complete embodiment, Mahabhava Swarup, of that Mahabhava. So this is Srimati Radharani. She is pure love of Krishna personified in its most condensed and intense and most developed form. So Srimati Radharani is the highest form of devotional service. That is what Srimati Radharani is. So she is non-different from Krishna, because love of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So therefore Srila Prabhupada explains that devotional service is under the jurisdiction of Srimati Radharani. And here also he mentions that devotees in Vrindavan, they take shelter of Srimati Radharani. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So I'll repeat Prabhupada's purport here. The very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Shri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Shri Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan, therefore, seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to be recognized as loving servitors of Krishna. So she is the unlimited reservoir and ocean of Krishna consciousness. And in order for us to be Krishna conscious, we need at least an atomic particle of one drop of her mercy. Then our life will be successful. If Srimati Radharani recognizes us as devotees, then that's a certificate. That's the stamp. Then Krishna will recognize, okay, here is my devotee. But if Radharani doesn't recognize somebody as a devotee, then we have no hope. So we have to please Srimati Radharani. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritah bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. He says, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritah. Those who are great souls, the Mahatmas, they take shelter of the daivi prakriti of Krishna. Prakriti means nature, daivi means divine. So who is a Mahatma? Who is a great soul? A great soul is one who has taken shelter of the divine energy of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explains, what is that divine energy? Radharani. So the great devotees of the Lord are those who are great because they have taken shelter of Srimati Radharani and are serving Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions here, she is a medium transmitting the living entity's service to Krishna. We cannot serve Krishna directly from that point of view, because all the service is offered eventually to Radharani, and then Radharani offers it to Krishna. This is the philosophy, this is the siddhanta, the conclusion. Direct service to Krishna is the prerogative of only Srimati Radharani. But for us, we have to go through Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada explains that Shri Krishna is called Madan Mohan, right? Who is Madan? Cupid or Kamadev. And Mohan means one who captivates or enchants. So Krishna can enchant millions of Cupids. Even the Cupid enchants everyone in this world. Everyone is under the spell of the arrows of Cupid. The attractions of Cupid are almost irresistible to the ordinary persons of this world. And in fact, under Cupid's influence, people think that this is all there is to life. Everything in this world revolves around Cupid. But even though Cupid is so enchanting to the world, millions of Cupids get bewildered by Krishna. Therefore, he is Madan Mohan. But Krishna is also enchanted by Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is more powerful than Krishna because she brings him under her control. So she is called Madan Mohan Mohini, the one who bewilders the bewilderer of Cupids, of all the Cupids. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that devotional service is more powerful than Krishna. Bhakti is more powerful than Krishna because it can control Krishna. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has mentioned that there are six primary characteristics of pure devotional service. Which is the sixth one? Those of you who have done Bhakti Shastri? Shri Krishna Akarshini, correct. What does it mean? Yes. Devotional service in its pure form attracts Krishna. And not just attracts, but it fully controls Krishna. And this specifically, Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion, refers to Srimati Radharani. So therefore, because there is pure love that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna, that love completely controls Krishna. Krishna cannot be controlled by anything else except love, because he is the supreme controller. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada explains that there are many philosophers who want to become God by the process of merging into Him and so on and so forth. But Prabhupada explains that that is not intelligent. The devotee, what to speak of becoming God, he becomes greater than God. Because he can or she can control God, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Of course, the devotee doesn't serve Krishna with that calculation, that I want to become more powerful than God. That is not the devotee's idea. But nevertheless, such is the nature of pure love that Krishna submits himself to the control of his pure devotees. So this is who Srimati Radharani is. And that is why the gopis of Vrindavan led by Srimati Radharani have such a profound impact on Krishna that he practically becomes their puppet. This is the love of Vrindavan, and this is how Vrindavan is unique among all the places where Krishna is loved and served by his devotees. In Vrindavan, the situation is very exceptional. There are certain laws that Krishna has made which break down in Vrindavan. They no longer apply. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stathaiva bhajamiham." As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So if you serve Krishna this much, then Krishna also reciprocates this much, maybe much more than that, but in proportion. So that goes on increasing and increasing and increasing, and Krishna keeps on reciprocating proportionately to the surrender and the love that the devotees have for him. But when it comes to Vrindavan, and especially the love of the gopis for Krishna, and in particular the love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna, then this formula breaks down. Krishna is unable to repay his debt to the gopis. Why is that? For one thing, the gopis don't want anything for themselves. So what can Krishna give them? What can you give someone who doesn't want anything? You don't find such people in the world hardly, do you? People in general want so many things. And if you offer them, "What can I give you?" they'll have many things to ask. But the gopis have nothing to ask Krishna. So what can Krishna give them? The second reason is, the gopis have only one desire. That is, to serve Krishna and to please him, to make him happy. You can only have this exclusive desire to make someone else happy if you don't seek that happiness yourself. To the extent that you seek the happiness for yourself, you will not be able to entirely, 100% want happiness for the other person. In other words, it's complete selflessness. So because the gopis want to please Krishna exclusively and they want nothing apart from that, so Krishna becomes indebted. He said, "What can I give you now? There's nothing else that I have to give you. I've exhausted my treasury. I've exhausted everything. So let your service itself be your compensation." And the third reason is that the gopis' attention or service is one-pointed. They only want to please and serve Krishna. But Krishna's attention is multi-pointed. Why is that? Because Krishna has so many devotees he has to look after. And in so many different mellows, there are devotees in the Shantaras who look up to him as someone great, full of nice qualities. There are others in the Dasyaras who want to serve him, who consider Krishna as the master and themselves as the servants of Krishna. Then there are those in Sakhyaras who consider Krishna as their friend and Krishna relates to them as a friend. Then there are those in Vatsalyaras who consider Krishna as their child, and Krishna considers them as his parents. So Krishna has to relate with so many devotees in so many different mellows. So his attention is multi-pointed, and then there are also the gopis. He has to reciprocate with the love of the gopis. Of course, he is the absolute truth, so it's not difficult for Krishna to do that. For an ordinary human being, or even an extraordinary human being, it's hard to satisfy everyone. Isn't it a fact? Everyone expects so many things from each of us, and we can't satisfy everyone. If you're more friendly to one friend, the other friend says, why are you spending time with that person, not with me? And then if you're spending more time with your friends, then the family says, you should spend more time with us. You spend more time with the family, then someone else has some objection. You must spend time with us as well. So we cannot satisfy everyone, because we are not Krishna. Krishna can satisfy everyone, because he is unlimitedly potent. Yet, it is a fact that his attention is multi-pointed. But the gopis don't have to satisfy anyone. Only have Krishna. So these are all the reasons why Krishna becomes so indebted to the gopis, and especially to Srimati Radharani, that this formula of reciprocating proportionately breaks down. So a new law applies in Vrindavan. It's a law by itself. So Vrindavan is a thing in itself, a place by itself, a phenomenon by itself. And the only way that Krishna can repay or try to repay this love is to appear in the mood of Srimati Radharani and try to love him like the gopis, and in particular like Srimati Radharani loves him. Therefore, Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes as Gaura in order to try to repay the debt that he has to Srimati Radharani and the other gopis. Therefore, it is said here, Radha Krishna, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. So that Krishna has come with the bhava, or the mood, and the dyuti, or the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Even though he is Sri Krishna himself, but he comes in the mood and with the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So this is one of the internal reasons for Krishna appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the previous verses, we have heard the external reasons for the appearance of Mahaprabhu. Now, we are hearing the internal reasons for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. We'll stop here. Any questions?